When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Jeff T. from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
The Week 10 ranks. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P Zapia, and today is about the ranks for Week 10. And we brought in the big guns. That's right. Matthew Friedman joining us, along with Pat Fitzmaurice, who's always here with me every single Wednesday because he's contractually obligated. But we are talking about the ranks. We're talking about who's moving up, who's moving down, and some of those rankings and what they mean to your fantasy teams, because that's what the show is really about at its core at the end of the day, trying to help all of you. And if you say to yourself, boy, Pat, Matt, and Joe, that's a hell of a fun trio. Well, guess what? Every single Monday morning on Fantasy Pros, on Betting Pros, I got tongue-tied for a second there. If you go to Betting Pros and you're listening to the podcast there or watching on our YouTube channel, we do a look-ahead show every single Monday morning where we look ahead at the lines, which has been super fun. So now we're bringing that trio here on the Fantasy Pros side. Going to talk a little bit about the ranks.
Running back rankings.
Let's just kick things off here and get right into the meat and potatoes of it, because I'm sure this is going to be a volatile piece. He is back off the bye, but is he really, truly back and playing? Lots of question marks surrounding Ezekiel Elliott. Pat, you've got him at RB20 right now, as of yesterday, at least last night. Matthew Friedman had him at RB25. The ECR is at RB43. So kind of waiting for Ezekiel Elliott till trying to figure out what they're going to do here. So, Pat, let's talk about Zeke, especially considering how Pollard looked last time we saw this Dallas Cowboys offense, and what your expectations are and your confidence level in Ezekiel Elliott Week 10.
My confidence level is pretty high, Joe, and some of that is directly related to my cynicism regarding my Green Bay Packers and how this sets up. So I think there's like room for both Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott to eat in this matchup. I have moved Zeke down two spots to RB22, but I think that's still squarely in starter range for most people. And he's been RB26 in half point PPR formats this season in points per game, that is. And like, this sets up well for him. The Packers have given up the second most rushing yards to running backs, the fourth most rushing attempts to running backs, 24 per game. They're allowing 5.0 yards per carry to running backs. And they lost Rashawn Gary to a torn ACL. We don't know if they're going to have linebacker Devondre Campbell, who's like probably their best run stopper. It's just kind of a train wreck for the Packers and their home underdogs. So it's a good spot for Zeke. Like, I think he's going to get, assuming he gets the full complement of snaps, good chance he gets, 15 plus carries and a touchdown against Green Bay this week.
Now, what's interesting is that overnight, as people, I assume, starting to put their ranks up, they're adding Zeke back in and trying to figure out where to put him in. That's moved from 43 in the ECR all the way to 26, still outside of where you had him, Freeman. Do you still have Zeke at 25, and are your expectations as confident as Pat Fitzmaurice's are? Because he seems like he's just kind of taking his shots here on the Green Bay Packers more than anything else.
I mean, yeah, listening to Fitz was like watching a guy dig a grave that he knows he's going to jump into later. This
that is dark for the top of the show, my friend. That is dark, and I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah. I have Zeke at 24. I will probably move him up a little bit, you know, just based on news of, you know, Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, Raheem Mostert. Maybe he's, you know, been overtaken by Jeff Wilson. So I think there's room for Zeke to move up the rankings. I'm certainly not moving him down. I fully expect him to play. And, you know, yeah, Fitz mentioned a whole bunch of reasons why you would want to play Zeke. And I think also Pollard against the Packers defense here. Number 29 in rush success rate. I believe number 31 in defensive rush DVOA. I mean, no matter what efficiency metric you are looking at, you're going to be able to find something that tells you this is a great matchup for the Cowboys running game. And as good as Tony Pollard is, like, there are reports that they just in Dallas do not view him as a full-time back. So I don't think he's going to become the lead back. I think Zeke still has that window of like locked in for a minimum of 12 touches each week. And it's probably more like 15. And going against a Packers defense that, as Fitz mentioned, is missing some key players, the Cowboys favored on the road, I think they're going to lean heavily into the backfield. And so I think Zeke is a low-end RB2, but he's got that touchdown upside to where it wouldn't be a surprise if he finished as an RB1.
All right, so there you go. The range of outcomes all mean that Zeke can go back in your lineups after the bye. You should feel good about that, everybody, especially as running backs continue to become extinct here in the NFL very quickly. Let's go to Tyler Algier, the Atlanta Falcons. Now, he's coming off his best game as a pro, 10 carries for 99 yards. He also had a 24-yard reception, 14 PPR points in that game. And look, when we're looking at Tyler Algier now, obviously things get a little muddy because we have Cordarrelle Patterson, who came back and had a pair of touchdowns in that game. So, Pat, you've got him as RB33. Friedman, you've got him as RB38. ECR is at RB31. So they're actually even higher than you, Pat. But let's talk about Tyler Algier and your expectations for him this week, because whenever you see, again, someone else come back into this backfield, things get muddy, things get questionable. But what do you take out of Algier looking so good with Patterson back in the fold?
Yeah, so that's it. Obviously, the return of Cordarrelle Patterson complicates things. And although I am a little behind ECR on him, I'm going to frame this in a way that like shows Algier is someone you could play in a pinch. Like, I don't think you want to play him necessarily, but, you know, we've got another 14 bye week. Last week, 24 snaps for Patterson in his return, 23 for Algier. And a wise man named Matthew Friedman said in a tweet last week that the 2022 Atlanta Falcons are the epitome of exotic smash mouth. And, you know, I agree with almost everything the wise Matthew Friedman has to say. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think Algier is still playable, and the Panthers are third in fantasy points allowed to running backs, tied for second in most carries allowed, fourth in rushing yards allowed. And they've given up 9 touchdown runs to running backs, which is tied for fifth most. It's a really good matchup, and I think there's room for more than one Falcons running back to produce here.
Well, at the volume in which they run the football in 2022, you would certainly think that there's enough. So, Friedman, that being said, you are even lower on Tyler Algier. So, not a fan of the smash mouth, or just a little concerned that the touchdown equity all goes to Cordarrelle Patterson now that he's back?
Yeah, Patterson had 3 carries inside the 5-yard line last week. Like, he's the guy there. And so, if Algier is already splitting carries with Patterson, maybe Patterson gets even more usage this week as they saw, okay, we sort of eased him in last week. So I think things have to go perfectly for Algier in order for him to be the guy who really pays off. Cause I don't think we can count on him getting there through efficiency in terms of yards per carry every week. I don't think he's going to get there through volume just because of all the other guys. And now I don't think he's going to get there because of touchdowns, cause he's not getting carries near the goal line. So things really have to go perfectly for him in order for him, I think, to drastically outperform the ECR 31 that we're seeing right now.
Okay, so a little less confidence on Tyler Algier from Matthew Friedman, a little more from Pat Fitzmaurice, but still somebody who's in that conversation, it looks like, as a flex spot, especially if you have RBs on bye, you might not have better options. At least you know like we're saying, probably 10 carries are at least in the picture for him. So you cross your fingers, hope for the best. Now, here's what I want to get to. This is the meat and potatoes of the show, everybody. So glad you're all here for it. The Miami backfield this week against the Cleveland Browns. We're going to break it down for you. I'm going to tell you the tale of the tape, okay? We're going to have Raheem Mostert, and we're going to pair him up against Jeffrey Wilson Jr. It's going to be a heavyweight championship match here. So Pat has Mostert higher, okay, than Friedman does. Pat's got Mostert at 19. Friedman's got him at 23, right where ECR's got him. Jeff Wilson, Pat's got it 38. Friedman's got it 32. ECR's got it 26 right now. So El Jefe, very popular in the ECR. So Pat, I'm going to kick it to you first here. I want to talk about this Miami backfield. I know there's a theory where there's enough to go around because it's the Cleveland Browns, and my goodness, they like to give up rushing yards. But at the same point, when we're looking at what happened last week and that first week that Jeffrey Wilson was part of this Miami backfield, is there fear that Wilson takes over more of a 60-40 kind of split and doesn't look back and brings a little touchdown equity? And it seemed like he was getting some of the looks in terms of the passing game as well. Where do you stand with this Miami backfield right now? Because your ranks say you lean Mostert.
They do, although they no longer say that as much. Well, I'm still leaning Mostert.
I mean, just during that long intro, you changed everything. That's what happened.
Not during that long intro. I was thinking about this more last night. And, you know, after pondering it some, I've moved Mostert to running back 22 and Wilson to running back 29. So still kind of a difference there, but I might even move them closer. And I was thinking about how my buddy Jim Coventry of RotoWire had predicted when this trade was made that Wilson would be the more valuable fantasy asset the rest of the way. And Jim's thinking was that, Chase Edmonds just didn't fit what Miami was doing on offense, and they recognized that. And they had this opportunity to get Wilson created by the Christian McCaffrey trade. And obviously, like, Wilson knows the system. And he's like this handyman back. Like, Wilson is never your plan A, but he's very good at coming in. And like, he seems to be the Johnny on the spot and was last year at times and is again this year. And like, we know Mostert was not going to handle the sort of workload he was being asked to take. Like, not only was he being used as a workhorse in the running game, like, he was returning some kicks too. The dude's 30 years old and has a pretty lengthy injury history. So they needed help. And like, Wilson is the cavalry here. And you know, can he surpass Mostert as Jim Coventry predicted? I think it's possible. You know, like, he played one snap more. Like, I could not have seen that coming, that in his first week with the team there for 5 days and he plays one snap more than Raheem Mostert last week. Totally blindsided me. And by the way, Joe, I just want to say, like, can I publicly acknowledge that I've been wrong about everything related to the Miami Dolphins this year? Like,
well, I mean, that's fair. I think a lot of us will take an L on that, because I know going in, I thought Mike McDaniel was either going to turn out to be the most genius, fresh, new voice in the NFL and the coaching world, or he was going to get fired in 4 games. Like, I didn't think there was another possible outcome there. I think there was a middle ground because he's so unique. He's so different in his approach to the players, the way he comes off the press conferences, what we're really getting from him. I mean, that little thing on the sideline where he's yelling at Justin Fields to stop it. Like, that's hilarious. Like, who's doing it? What NFL coach is doing that besides that guy? And it's so different than what we're used to and conditioned to. And then we're talking now about Jeff Wilson, who comes into a situation here, Friedman, who he knows the playbook. He knows the verbiage, which is also very important too. And he can kind of hit the ground running here, no pun intended, not to mention the fact that both these guys do have an injury history. Sometimes when a guy like Jeff Wilson gets dropped to the waiver wire, then gets picked up again, there's almost an inflated sense of value for that player. But I don't know if it's inflated. It's starting to feel like, especially in this matchup, then the bye and then Houston afterwards, like, maybe Jeffrey Wilson's that guy that we all should be investing in now.
Yeah, I think it'll be a split backfield. That's just, I think, the way that they're going to want to run it. But to Fitz's point, yeah, I have moved Wilson up a little bit. And I don't know, just depending on how news shakes out, it wouldn't surprise me if by kickoff, I have Wilson ranked ahead of Mostert. To Fitz's point, in his first game. Now, granted, and Joe, you said this, he knows the verbiage, he knows the system, but there's a difference between knowing that in San Francisco with the team that you've been with for 5 years and dropping into a new offense, new players, all of that. And still, in his first, not even a full week there, he's able to out-snap, out-opportunity, and out-produce Raheem Mostert. Like Mostert probably hates Jeff Wilson, you know, like he finally gets away from him, and then they bring Wilson to Miami. He's like, what does he have to do to get this guy out of his life? Like Wilson's going to take his job, and the matchup against the Browns is fantastic. They're number 32 in rush EPA per play. So it's a fantastic matchup, whether it's Mostert or Wilson, as the guy who ends up, you know, really dominating this week. Both of them have a good shot at it. And the Dolphins, 10-4 against the spread at home with quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. So, like, this is the spot where they outperform. So I really do like both of these guys this week.
Can I'd be looking to trade for Jeffrey Wilson everywhere. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to say, like, you know, I'd kind of faded Mostert in the rankings all year and, like, over-ranked Chase Edmonds. And then, like, I finally show up for the Raheem Mostert party in the rankings, and it's like, I show up with a case of beer and, you know, everyone's gone. The host tells me it was a great party. They had three kegs. All the cool people were there, and then the cops showed up and sent everyone home. And, you know, that happened 30 minutes before I got there. I guess in that analogy, Jeff Wilson would be the police. So, yeah, man, like it's just, but I do agree with Friedman that in this matchup, like it's possible both guys could eat because the Cleveland run D is pretty terrible.
I guess the biggest surprise I had, guys, was that Jeff Wilson had the three receptions, like the 9 for 51. Like that didn't shock me. It was the three receptions because I thought, well, at least Mostert's role in the passing game is probably intact, right? Maybe not. And that was
Wilson. I think problem. Wilson's the better receiver of the team.
I don't disagree with that, but I did think he could get involved with it so quickly.
Yeah.
That was the eye opening thing for me where I said, oh goodness. Like if he can pick that up so quickly and he's already potentially better in that role, this could be a tough sell here for Raheem Mostert rest of season.
Yeah, all right. Absolutely.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMed Care Network provides its members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind for you and your family. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to $50 in a Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMed Care Network membership is the protection no one should live without. Let's get to Deonta Foreman. Matthew Friedman, you've got him as RB18. Pat's got him at RB22. ECR is at 17. So ECR likes him more than anybody. Obviously, this is another moving pieces backfield here with Chuba Hubbard now potentially returning here. So Friedman, let's talk about the Carolina backfield, another backfield split carries. How do you feel about starting Freeman? How do you feel about starting Chuba Hubbard or both of them if you have no choice?
Ooh, starting both of them would feel pretty disgusting because the Panthers, I mean, PJ Walker is going to be the quarterback, but this is a bad situation. This offense is one of the worst offenses in the league. You know, shout out the Colts with Sam Ehlinger coming in and saving them from being maybe the worst offense in the league, but it's not good. And so Chuba Hubbard practiced fully. He's coming back from the ankle injury, but he practiced fully on Tuesday. So we are assuming he's going to play on Thursday Night Football, which means, you know, I'm going to pay attention to practice reports, to things that beat reporters are saying, but there's a chance I end up knocking Dante Foreman down a little bit if it looks like Hubbard is going to either resume the lead back duties or, you know, significantly chip away and maybe be the receiving back. But I still like Dante Foreman. Like, I think he's just in terms of like football evaluation, I think he's the better player. You know, like he does get comped to Derrick Henry and that's kind of ridiculous, but like the guy actually has some explosiveness. And in his 8 games since last year with 12 plus opportunities, he's averaged, I believe, 108.3 yards per game. Like that's pretty impressive. And against the Falcons in just week 8, just a couple of weeks ago, he had 118 yards, 3 touchdowns on 26 carries and 1 target. Like I doubt he gets that kind of usage again, but it's a great matchup going against the Falcons defense. It's number 30 in rush success rate. So I like the matchup. A lot of this will be just Chuba Hubbard dependent, but I think Hubbard isn't someone I'm going to want to start. He's just more of like a leech that could take away the fantasy goodness that Foreman offers.
And
Fitz, you know, when we're looking at Foreman too, I think the calculus changed a little bit because last week was underwhelming. 2 weeks ago, coming off a 3-touchdown game, I don't think any of us really have too much fear of Chuba Hubbard. But now after last week, we start to go, okay, well, you know, maybe it does go back to what it looked like a few weeks before where they're working together, or maybe Chuba's even working ahead of him. So what's your concern level here in the backfield for the Carolina Panthers? Not to mention the quarterback volatility. Let's just throw that in there because it's fun.
Right. Yeah. So after the two straight 118-yard rushing days for Foreman, and one of those days he has the 3 touchdowns, and those 3 touchdowns came against these Atlanta Falcons. He fell to earth last week with 7 carries, 23 yards against the Bengals. But I don't really hold that against Foreman because game script just got away from the Panthers in that one. Like, they got avalanched right from the start and they weren't going to be able to run the ball very much. My concern is definitely with Hubbard coming back. And even though I'm not like a big Chuba Hubbard fan, I think he's just kind of empty speed. When we last saw him in week 7, he played only 4 fewer snaps than Foreman and actually started that game for the Panthers. So there is a concern about the Foreman workload here with Hubbard coming back, that this is maybe more of a 50-50 type thing. The Panthers ran a ton of plays in their last game against the Falcons, that 118-yard, 3-touchdown game. They ran like 80 offensive plays and Foreman had 54 snaps. So I don't think we can count on that sort of snap count again. And, he played 3 times as many snaps as backup Spencer Brown in that game. I don't think that's going to happen with Hubbard back. So I just don't know what the workload is going to look like for Foreman this week.
No, understandably so. All right, last guy here on the running back slate to talk about is A.J. Dillon. And Pat liked to use the metaphor before about the party and stuff. With A.J. Dillon, I feel like it's you and me, Pat, who are so high on A.J. Dillon and his potential before. And now it's become, at this point in week 10, it's sort of like the end of Fight Club when Helena Bonham Carter why am I blanking on an actor? This is terrible. Come on, help me out here. Fight Club.
Brad Pitt?
I just like watching you have to think about it.
Ed Norton. What am I doing? So we're holding hands and we're watching all the buildings explode. That's us watching AJ Dillon the rest of the season. So there you have it. Finally, I got to Edward Norton. So RB21, Friedman's got him at. ECR's at 29. Pat's done. He's over it. He's at 32, which is one of the biggest variances. Now, I know there's some uncertainty with the ankle injury of Aaron Jones. So let's talk about that. He did practice on Wednesday, but we've seen these ankle injuries, Friedman, become these weird lingering things, and we've seen them kind of ruin a bunch of seasons already. Is this something we're concerned with, and is something we should take into account when evaluating AJ Dillon for week 10?
So, you know, when I had Dillon ranked at 21, that was very early in the week with primarily the Aaron Jones ankle injury in mind. So now that he's practiced, it looks like it's the low ankle injury instead of the dreaded high ankle injury. I've moved AJ Dillon back down, and you know, the further into the week we get, the more confirmation we get of Aaron Jones being healthy and continuing to practice, the further down the rankings I'm going to move AJ Dillon. So this is sort of like, you know, rankings, a living, breathing organism, except for last week for me when they were a dying organism. wasn't a good week rankings for me last week, but you know, I will continue to update the rankings as we get more confirmation that Aaron Jones is healthy. So the AJ Dillon ranking at 21, that's early in the week. I have him now at 26. I anticipate I will continue to move him down.
Was that the same for you, Pat, where you're already just kind of there, where you're saying, I'm just going to leave him here and let the Aaron Jones situation kind of evolve on its own?
Yeah, and I'm not going to let Friedman off the hook for having him 21, even though he was maybe doing it in the anticipation that Aaron Jones would miss this game. Because last week against the Lions, like, the Packers had the ball almost the entire game. They had a ton of offensive snaps and Dillon played 49 snaps in that game. He turned his 49 snaps into 11 carries for 34 scoreless yards and 2 catches for 10 yards. So, more of the same for AJ Dillon, like, hasn't scored a touchdown since week 1. Usage in the passing game is just sporadic. And, look, like, this is the most toothless a Packers offense has been since the late 1980s when Randy Wright was their quarterback. And, old school Packers fans will appreciate how bad they were back then. I mean, their season is over, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if they came out in week 10 and just laid an egg at home against Dallas and played like a team
therapy session here. This is what it's turning into a little bit, right?
So, I mean, like, they are pretty close to waving the white flag on this season if they haven't already. And they're going to have probably as 5-point home underdogs, a negative run unfriendly game script against a very good Dallas defense that's given up the fourth fewest fantasy points to running backs this year.
Fitz, I want to jump in with one random question, but still related to the Packers. How many games this year does Jordan Love start?
Week 18 for sure. I'll put the over under 2.5.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, he's going to start some games. He's going to start some games this year.
A little eval. Yeah. A little eval time. By the way, going back to AJ Dillon week one, he had 90 all-purpose yards. He was RB10 in half PPR that week. We looked good week one, Pat. It was all downhill from there.
I know.
Friedman actually looked like Brad Pitt in Fight Club in week one, and then we ended up like Ed Norton. See, I brought it all home again despite the brain fart earlier in the show. Yeah, so there
actually,
you go.
Actually, Friedman, make that over under 1.5. You're probably betting the over there?
If you said 1.5, I'd probably bet the over.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yikes. All right, let's get to a player that I'm higher on than ECR, and then Pat gets to tell me why I'm wrong. This is the weekly part of the show where we like to do this. Although last week, there was a meeting of the mind, so that was a nice change of pace. Felt pretty good. Khalil Herbert, I've got as RB21. Very high on Khalil Herbert this week. I love this matchup. ECR is at 26. 5-spot difference here. Pat, I'm just of the mind. It's very simple. Khalil Herbert is the better running back. He is going to have a great matchup here. I want him in my lineup. David Montgomery is not great. David Montgomery, I understand, is still going to eat into the carry load, but in terms of, if you look at what they've done, Khalil Herbert touched the ball a little less than Montgomery and was more productive yet again. Like, I don't know when we have to keep doing this every single week, banging our heads against the wall, but talk to me about Khalil Herbert this week. Am I right or am I wrong to be higher than consensus?
All right. Well, I mean, I think you're right about Herbert, the player, and in sizing up the situation, I kind of think you're wrong in the rankings, Joe. I mean, it's just that I've got him RB28, and I think 28 is an apt number because that is his snap share in each of the last two games, 28%. And like, we are getting yo-yoed with this running back situation. Like, every time we think it's headed towards a 50-50 where Herbert gets increased usage one week, then the very next week it's like back to being a clear backup to David Montgomery. So that's just been kind of frustrating. And right now I have to play the trend, which has been, you know, Monty is the lead guy and Herbert just is the change of pace.
Yeah. I think last week was just the special time and place for Justin Fields. I'm not going to let Khalil Herbert take that personally, but Friedman, you seem to agree with Pat. I can already tell.
Yeah, I think I have him 29, and over the past 5 weeks, 28, 22, 41% snap rate. So that's like the one peak performance, and then 28, 28%. And, you know, in those four games where he was in the 20 percentile, wasn't getting any targets. He has just 2 targets over the past 5 weeks. So he's not getting any usage in the receiving game, which means he's got to get there through efficiency because he's not going to get there through volume in the running game either. So everything has to go perfectly. And I am not of the opinion that things tend to go perfectly for the Chicago Bears.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about No House Advantage. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick'em contests against other people for the shot at winning over $150,000 in cash. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb that leaderboard for your shot to win big money every single week. You can always test your skills versus the house at 20x your entry. And if you hit all your picks, boom, bet on the top 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sporting league, whether it be NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR too. Sign up today with promo code PROS. Again, that promo code is PROS at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app in app stores and get your first deposit match up to $25. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but where you play. So make sure you're playing at nohouseadvantage.com. And when you do, use that promo code PROS. Again, that promo code is PROS to get that $25 deposit match. And now back to the action. Let's pivot to the wide receivers here. And let's talk about a wide receiver that Pat's got higher than Matt.
Wide receiver rankings.
Darnell Mooney, wide receiver 26 for Pat. For Friedman, he's at wide receiver 30. ECR is at 28, right in between. So let's talk about more Bears. Let's talk more about Darnell Mooney here. Obviously, the Bears starting to get a little bit more confident. Justin Fields starting to look a lot more confident in the NFL. So do you think that now it's safe to go out and Darnell Mooney again?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. We've seen an uptick in the Bears passing volume. I mean, no one's going to be mistaking them for the Rams' greatest show on turf of the early 2000s. But Mooney has seen 31 targets in his last four games, so almost 8 targets a game. And these are pretty high value targets. He's a downfield receiver. His average depth of target this year is 12 yards. And I don't think he's going to project to run most of his routes against Jeffrey Okuda. He's mostly going to avoid Okuda here. And, you know, he's the Lions' best cornerback. And if you're not running against Okuda, you're probably feasting on this defense because it's been pretty terrible otherwise. So, yeah, I like Mooney this week. I think you should probably play him if you've got him on your roster.
Friedman, Mooney's coming off his first wide receiver one finish of the season. So are you starting to feel more comfortable with putting him back into lineups now?
Yeah, I'm with Fitz. I know we have a slight, discrepancy
variance
on rankings, but I mean, we're in the same tier there, and I'm very much with him. Everything Fitz said, I agree with. Since week 4, and that was when the Bears really started to pass a little bit more. Mooney has 41 targets in 6 games, 380 yards, and 2 games against the Lions last year. Mooney had 248 yards receiving on 15 targets, even with Jeffrey Okuda. I'm just going to say, I think the Okuda love is getting a little bit, it's not like out of control. It's just like, can we pump the brakes on the guy who's the number one cornerback on the pass defense that is dead last in the league in dropback EPA? Like, how good can he really be if everyone on that defense is getting destroyed? So it's a good matchup. It's an offense that's passing more. Justin Fields, I mean, he's been incredibly impressive over the past month. And this is like the kind of thing that is cumulative. Like, he could continue to get better as the season progresses. And that has ancillary effects for everyone else in that offense. So, yeah, Darnell Mooney, I think it's a great spot to start him this week.
The confidence is everything for a quarterback in the NFL. And he's got it now. So we can only see what goes on from there. Cole Kmet starting to look useful again. All these things that we like going into the season that we all dropped by week 4, Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney, all of a sudden everyone's picking these guys up, trying to acquire these guys. So very interesting turn of events. Let's talk about George Pickens for a moment here. Wide receiver 34 in Pat's rankings, 39 in Matt's, 35 in ECR. So a little closer to you, Pat. Now Pickens coming off a very tough game last time we saw him against the Eagles secondary, which is very good in all fairness. So they have a bye. Now coming out of the bye, they face the New Orleans secondary. So, Pat, what are your thoughts here on a bounce back potentially for George Pickens in week 10?
I think it's wheels up for George Pickens. And at the time of the trade deadline, I thought Pickens gained as much value from the moves made at the trade deadline as anyone in the league. Now, I think the answer to that is Jeff Wilson Jr. Like, he's the biggest gainer. But of any of the players who didn't actually move, didn't actually change teams, I still think it's Pickens. Zero catches on 3 targets right before the bye in a really tough matchup against that great pair of Eagles outside cornerbacks. But before that, 7 targets a game and 4.8 catches a game in his 5 previous contests. The volume is going up with no more Chase Claypool. Like, the target tree is skinnier now. They have pruned a significant branch from that target tree. So that's going to be an uptick. And like, this guy has flashed all sorts of potential. Like, I think he's a star in the making. And I think kind of everyone has seen it. And it's just a matter of him getting the opportunities he needs to flash that star capacity a little bit more often. I just love the guy, and I'm going to love him even more if Marshawn Lattimore misses this game for the Saints when they travel to Pittsburgh. He's missed, what, the last 2 or 3? So if he's still out, I think Pickens could be in for a pretty good game.
That was some beautiful tree imagery, by the way. You're like the Bob Ross here of Fantasy Pros. That was lovely. I always want one day for you to take off the hat and see like this giant poof Bob Ross afro. That'd be amazing. I'd love for that to happen on the show one day. YouTube ratings through the roof. All right, Friedman, let's talk about your thoughts on Pickens. So that's a pretty rosy picture that Fitz is painting here. Do you agree with that?
I agree with parts of it. I think the ceiling is significantly higher for him with Chase Claypool gone. I think the median outcome is about the same, maybe a little bit higher. And so I have moved Pickens up just a little bit in the ranks. I have him now ahead of Drake London, which it just, it hurts my heart to say that, but yeah, he's got all the talent. There's no question about the talent. The big question is offense and then usage. Like, you know, they talked about using Freiermuth a little bit more in that Chase Claypool role. And so maybe some of that usage that we would expect to go to Pickens actually goes to Freiermuth. And so Pickens doesn't benefit from Claypool's departure quite as much as we would have expected. I do, to Fitz's point about Marshon Lattimore, I do expect him to be out this game. Head coach Dennis Allen for the Saints said there's no timeline on the return for Marshon Lattimore, which sounds horrible for a coach to say that. So I would expect that he's out. I will push back a little to say, like, I don't want to be the Deontay Johnson stan, because, man, that guy has massively disappointed this year in his production. But he still has 76 targets and 5 carries in 8 games this year. Like, he's still very much the number one in terms of usage. So for Pickens to outperform expectations, he has to start to take some of that away from Deontay Johnson. And Johnson's had 10 targets per game for the past 2.5 years. Like, he's pretty entrenched as the number one receiver. So we need to see things shift over towards Pickens for me really to feel more confident about starting him on a week-to-week basis. Otherwise, he feels like more of a boom-bust play that is more of a flex versus like a wide receiver 3 you feel good about.
I tend to agree with you that Freiermuth is the guy to really keep an eye on, but I don't know if it's this week because New Orleans has been so good against the tight ends all year. So I feel like this might be the week where maybe Pickens is closer with pass blocking, but maybe long-term Freiermuth is that investment. So if Freiermuth has a bad game here, that might be a perfect time to acquire him if you're hurting at tight end. Pat, you look like you had something to say here.
I was just going to say Kenny Pickett seems a little less inclined to just pepper Deontay Johnson with targets than either Ben Roethlisberger or Mitch Trubisky did.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Still.
No question. He's going to earn a lot of targets. No question. I mean, they might be empty targets as we've seen all year, but I just think there is room for Pickens to do a lot more now that Claypool's out of the picture, and their third receiver is going to be what, like Steven Sims. Like there's definitely a value boost here coming for Pickens.
Terrace Marshall Jr. got a value boost in the last 2 weeks. Wide receiver 31 in Pat's 37, excuse me, in Pat's rankings, 46 in Friedman's, 41 in the ECR. He was a very popular waiver wire ad this week. But again, uncertainty, instability at the quarterback position. Fitz, how confident are you in starting Terrace Marshall this week?
I'm starting to get a little more confident, Joe. And I mean, Terrace Marshall did not have the sort of rookie-er impact we were hoping for from him.
No, he did not.
But then again, I mean, he came into the league. He played his first NFL game 3 months after turning 21. So like, I'm willing to give it sort of a redshirt year for him and not really hold that slow rookie year against him. But now you've got this guy suddenly getting a lot of opportunity with the Robbie Anderson trade. And, it's DJ Moore and it's Terrace Marshall and there's nothing else. I mean, their third receiver is Shai Smith, who's terrible. They don't really throw to their tight ends. So talk about a skinny tree. I mean, this tree is just, you know, the trunk going straight into the air. And Terrace Marshall is this big, fast dude. I like big, fast receivers. He's 6'2", 4'4 speed. And when he was an underclassman at LSU, he was the third receiver behind Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. And as a 19-year-old sophomore, Marshall had 13 touchdowns on 46 receptions. And I know that was a souped up offense with Joe Burrow, who obviously gets a lot of the credit. But like this dude is really talented and there's a lot of big play potential there. And I think some of his exploits in Baton Rouge showed that. Plays to his size and his speed, and he's starting to play up to that tremendous potential here. So I'm kind of excited about him, and he's going against the Falcons, who have that injury riddled and very
AJ Terrell is out. I just saw in my playbook the update there, so he's officially out again. God, it's hard to imagine they had Justin Jefferson and Chase and Burrow and Clyde Edwards, all those guys on the same team in college. This is wild. It's just not fair. Friedman, what are your thoughts on Terrace Marshall? I mean, there's a good case here that Pat's making for him. You're a little lower in the rankings, so you're a tougher sell. Why is that?
Yeah, I've bumped him up, and he is someone that I wrote about in my Friedman's Favorites piece, live now at Fantasy Pros.
Nice just plug.
What a natural plug right there.
So good.
But yeah, he and so the initial ranking was just in the midst of quarterback uncertainty. You know, was it PJ Walker? Was it Baker Mayfield who was going to be starting? But I mean, I agree with everything that Fitz said. He's a big play type of guy. He had three end zone targets last week. So I think if you're thinking about who is likelier to score a touchdown this week, Terrace Marshall or DJ Moore, on a per target basis, it's probably Terrace Marshall. And to Fitz's point about the opportunities he's seen since Robbie Anderson was traded, yeah, absolutely. He stepped in as the number two receiver. He's been, you know, non-horrible, 171 yards, a touchdown receiving, 18 targets in that time. And the Falcons defense, number 31 in dropback success rate, on top of the guys that it's missing its two perimeter wide receivers and AJ or perimeter cornerbacks and AJ Terrell and Casey Hayward. And, you know, Marshall, even though in his final season in college, he played in the slot, like he can play in the slot in the NFL. He's not being used that way. He's almost exclusively a perimeter wide receiver, and he's going to be going against two backups on the outside. So a great situation for him.
All right,
let me rephrase that. Great situation, other than the fact that he's on the Panthers.
Well, I think that goes without saying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We all know that. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Deebo Samuel and flip the script here a little bit. These are guys that Matt likes more than Pat, which sounds like a children's story. All right, so Deebo Samuel, you've got as wide receiver 11. Pat's got him at 21, ECR at 17. Since Christian McCaffrey has come into the fold here, we've seen him put up 13 half PPR points and then seven half PPR points. So Friedman, looking at this, why the confidence in Deebo this particular week in this matchup against the Rams? I'm sorry, excuse me, against the Chargers.
Pardon. The Chargers, one of those LA teams.
Well, he missed the other game before with the Rams. That's what, yeah. I was looking at the game log.
So
there.
Coming off of the bye, so that helps. And you know, as you mentioned, he was injured. So this is pretty much just, he's the number one wide receiver on an offense that I think is really hitting its stride. They're big favorites at home going against a defense that's missing its number one cornerback. He's not going to get the usage as a runner that he had previously with Christian McCaffrey not there. So that part of his game is gone. But I still think there's a lot of upside and a pretty decent floor that he has. And so this is basically just assuming he's going to start and he's going to be his normal, in terms of twitchiness, his normal Deebo Samuel self.
Pat, what are your thoughts on Deebo? Because you're lower on him this week. Do you have fear that he can get back into that wide receiver one tier consistently going forward now that McCaffrey is in-house?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he's going to get there. I mean, he's coming off the hamstring injury. So even assuming he's okay, he's probably not going to be involved as a runner very much anymore now that they've got McCaffrey on board. So far this season, Deebo has given us two top 24 finishes at wide receiver in seven games. So the batting average, not real exciting there. And he's sharing targets with some really good pass catchers in Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and the aforementioned Christian McCaffrey. So, yeah, I'm a little nervous, and maybe the floor is lower than we're used to seeing from Deebo.
In recognition of everything Fitz said, I am bumping Deebo down one spot in my rankings.
Look at that. You made a huge dent.
Yeah.
I'm so persuasive.
Yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, putting him really below good. CD Lamb right now. Yeah.
There you go. Look at that. So you felt like you did something today now. Let's go on to the next guy, who's probably one of the toughest guys to rank on a weekly basis. It's Gabe Davis of the Buffalo Bills. Now, obviously some uncertainty, some insecurity here with Josh Allen's elbow doesn't make us all feel warm and fuzzy this week. And I know there's a lot more news to come. So make sure if you haven't already, download the Fantasy Pros News Desk app so you can stay on top of all that news. But Gabe Davis right now, as of putting the show together, you had Matt at wide receiver 19, Pat had a 23, ECR 21. So Gabe Davis, again, a very difficult guy to rank. What are your thoughts on him this week? And have you made any adjustments since we put this together yesterday?
I have a wide receiver 20 right now, but that is a very tentative, and I'd say sort of like best case scenario type of ranking. And I'm fully prepared mentally to drop him to like number 36 as the week progresses. And I mean, I got to say, if Case Keenum ends up being the starter here, this line moves anywhere to like a pick'em to maybe 2.5. But like the Bills would not, in my opinion, they wouldn't be favored by a field goal or more. So that means like expectations for that entire Bills offense would significantly drop outside of the fact that you do have Case Keenum and Stephon Diggs in a mutual revenge game against the Vikings, which you got to love that.
Come on, the Case Keenum revenge game? I mean, isn't that the thing we're all waiting for?
I mean, hey, at least Case Keenum has thrown to Stephon Diggs before significantly. So like they still have some chemistry there. Like there's nothing there with Gabe Davis, who is a pretty volatile producer anyway.
Right.
So I would be really inclined to move Gabe Davis down the rankings if Josh Allen is not in this game.
I think that's everyone's inclination, Pat, right? I mean, he's such a boom or bust guy to begin with. This becomes a really dicey potential situation if Josh Allen isn't right and if he's not there at all.
Oh, yeah. It's a roller coaster ride even with Josh Allen. I mean, he had that one monster game against the Steelers where he had 171 yards and two touchdowns, including the 99-yarder, 98-yarder. There have been two other good games, a 74-yard game with a touchdown, an 88-yard game with a touchdown. And then four games where he was held under 40 yards and basically you regretted having him in your lineup. So a roller coaster ride, even with the NFL's, you know, arguably the NFL's best quarterback throwing to him. And then there's the possibility that Case Keenum, even though I don't think Case Keenum stinks, like I think he's actually a pretty good backup by NFL backup standards. But like no one's going to have him in the top 25 if Case Keenum is making the start here. And you know, as of this recording, we just don't have enough information on Josh Allen, whether he'll play or how much. But we did get a cryptic "we'll see" from Bills head coach Sean McDermott when he was asked That's whether helpful. Allen would play. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it kind of acknowledges the possibility that he might not be playing this week.
I got to say, the betting market is strongly going against the idea that Josh Allen plays this week. Like, if that means anything, you know, like this number has tanked. So the people who are putting money on the line are skeptical that Allen plays or skeptical that if he plays, he's like the full Josh Allen that we normally see.
But if you're right and this goes down to 2.5, though, I'm going to hammer the Bills. I will hammer the Bills. I mean, the Vikings have won six straight against terrible teams and all by one score. Like,
I'm kind of where Fitz is.
Yeah.
And if you want to keep an eye on this line, again, bettingpros.com and bettingpros.com/podcast to stay up on everything going on there. So that's where you want to check out all our betting pros content. So there's a lot to unpack here in this contest between two juggernaut teams. Let's get to the last guy on the wide receiver list here, Terry McLaurin. Friedman, you've got him at 22. Fitz has got him at 27. 24 is where he lives in the ECR. A player that Taylor Heinicke seems to be finding consistently. Eight targets, nine targets last three games. So should it be a situation where we start to feel better about a guy like Terry McLaurin because of the volume than we do about a guy like Gabe Davis?
Yeah, I mean, this is I will likely have McLaurin ranked ahead of Davis by the end of the week. It's a situation where, as you mentioned, good volume, and he seems to have some chemistry with Heinicke. Horrible matchup, you know, going against an Eagles secondary that, if they're not number one, certainly top three in the league. So I don't really have any confidence in Terry McLaurin in this spot in terms of having anything better than basically where I've ranked him. Like, I don't see him being, despite the usage, like a wide receiver one this week. I think he's solidly in the wide receiver two range.
And that's the tough part. The Eagles secondary, we just talked before about what they did with Pickens, right? Well, you know, here you go again. But, you know, those in-division games sometimes, especially those ones on those big primetime games, sometimes get a little wacky here, Pat. Do you think there's any upside here for McLaurin that maybe we don't even realize? Or you think it's another shutdown Eagles game here with that secondary?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to overplay the cornerback matchups too much. I think sometimes we have a tendency to do that, but this is truly a skull and crossbones matchup. I mean, the Eagles are flying the Jolly Roger for opposing wide receivers like Darius Slay and James Bradbury. Like, that is, it's the NFL's best outside cornerback duo right now. I think McLaurin is probably going to see a lot of Bradbury in this one. And, you know, like, you're still starting McLaurin. I think you just have to realize that the floor scenario is very much in play this week.
All right, let's get to the guy that I'm higher on than the ECR. It's Darius Slayton. Right now, I've got him at wide receiver 35. ECR is lower. ECR 43. That's an 8-spot difference here. So, Pat, I think this is a guy that could see at least half a dozen targets again in this game against Houston. Your thoughts about Darius Slayton? Do I have him ranked too high, and is the ECR right again?
I'm right on ECR, Joe. I mean, don't you know Kenny Galladay is coming back this week to steal all the targets and receptions? It's not really Kenny I'm too worried about. I don't know. Like, to me, ECR seems about right. Like, the Panthers haven't been that much of a Texans. The Texans have not been that much of a pushover matchup for opposing wide receivers not named AJ Brown. Otherwise, right now they're like middle of the pack in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. But I think they were better than that until they encountered Mr. Brown a couple of weeks ago. So
you feel the same way about Slayton here? I know people looking at Wandale Freeman, looking at Slayton, those guys, you know, people short at wide receiver, a lot of injuries right now. Is Slayton somebody you would throw out there?
No, Robinson is more intriguing, but I think the Giants, big home favorites, I think they're going to be running the ball quite a bit anyway. And that really is where the Texans are most exploitable in the running game. And with Kenny Galladay potentially returning, I do think he's going to come back, which means Slayton, even though he's the better player, I don't think that means like we're going to get a lot of targets going to Galladay. It just means that Slayton isn't out there running routes. So I'm pretty skeptical on a number of things for Slayton here. So I'm probably, you know, I have him at 47 right now, depending on, you know, injury reports for Galladay, I could end up having Slayton outside of the top 50.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
All right, last tip here is the listener mailbag straight from our Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. Again, free to join, but premium members get access to stages, AMAs, and a whole lot more funds like getting on the podcast here when I take your question and put it here on the show and I make you famous. This one's from Bubbles. Bubbles got offered Diggs and Jacoby for CMC in a 14-man half PPR. Our thoughts leaning towards no. Am I dumb? Diggs and Jacoby for CMC. I don't think that's a deal you want to make if you have CMC in a 14-team league, correct, fellas?
Yeah, I mean, not only he's not dumb. Not only is he not dumb, like I don't think I just hit the reject button. I think I would probably like cluck my tongue at the other person and lecture them for offering me such an insulting deal.
Look, I get in 14 team leagues. Sometimes, you know, depth is important. You need bodies, but not at the cost of dealing a premium guy like CMC. Not that Diggs isn't a premium guy, but especially now with this Allen news, Friedman, this is not a deal you can make.
Yeah, absolutely. Even before the Allen news, I don't think you can make that. And I would say like in a 14 team league, a pure number one running back becomes all the more valuable.
Right.
And so there's absolutely no way I would be parting with CMC unless there's a good running back coming back in that deal and a number one wide receiver of Diggs's caliber.
Do you guys agree that in one QB league, CMC is the single most valuable asset right now?
Probably. I mean, I think you can make the case for Saquon, but I would say it's one of those two.
Yeah, I think in the 49ers, he's the most valuable.
Yeah. I think in that system, it's hard to argue against it. And I'm the Mr. Justin Jefferson guy, so it makes me sad that I have to argue against it. But again, that was the evaluation when he was a Panther, not a 49er, of all the spots for him to end up. Well, we're happy you ended up in this spot to hang out with us and listen to a little football chatter here. If you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube channel of Fantasy Pros, and also check out our Betting Pros channel as well. Lots of great content, not just NFL. We got college football there. We've got everything at Betting Pros. And of course, the podcast at bettingpros.com/podcast as well. And you can hear our Monday look ahead show every single Monday. The three of us get together and talk about what happened and what's going to happen in the future and where the early value is. And that, my friends, is invaluable. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including No House Advantage. Download the No House Advantage app or go to nohouseadvantage.com and sign up with the promo code PROS. That's PROS for the promo code, and experience daily fantasy sports redefined over at No House Advantage and Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS no matter where you are in the game of life. An Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Matt and Pat, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.